Good afternoon and welcome to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio, brought to you by the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And we are very excited for today's program for many reasons. One is that we have two fabulous guests, and that's always what we look forward to most, meeting new people and learning new things. Secondly, on a personal note, this is your host, Anthony Benny, and it is my birthday, and we are celebrating my birthday from the side of the ocean in beautiful Beach Haven, New Jersey. So it's a very special afternoon and friends and family all about, but I kicked them out so that I could do our radio show and they can listen from the beach. So I am so thrilled to introduce our first guest, and I've heard so much about him. And Martin Dealey is a true dog wizard. He's the kind of person who has trained dogs on every continent and is a writer, a speaker, a guest in media, a person that I respect a lot, and that from what I've read, I think that there's an awful lot we can learn from Martin. So, Martin, welcome to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I was waiting for the word that you were going to use there. It was quite interesting. Be on edge.
You haven't done yet anything to warrant anything but my kindest words. I would love you to tell us about a little bit about just a kind of a brief recap of your Florida dog trainer business and how that's blossomed into kind of a national career and media and all the great things that you're doing.
Well, Anthony, I've been training dogs for well over 35 years, and I started with hunting dogs. I came over to America 17 years ago, and I married a young lady who also already had a dog business. We built it together. We moved down to Florida, and we're now a Florida dog trainer. We do the training of dogs and behavioral issues and problems like that, but I've been very, very lucky in my life, and I've met a lot of wonderful people. I've helped different people, and they've helped me, and that's how this book came along, because one of the people I was very much involved with was Cesar Millan when he first started. So it's just been a great life, and dogs have brought it to me, and it couldn't have been better.
Well, isn't it amazing what dogs do bring to us, and they become not only a part of our lives, but the defining force in some of our lives who've made our careers and, you know, really our entire mission around dogs. So it's great to be talking to a fellow traveler in the world of the spirit of dogs. And tell us about the book. I want to talk more about some specific training, but I think that the way the book is developed to help to have us be taught how to train our dogs from the point of view of a dog, to me, is just such a fabulous idea. So please tell us about the book.
What happened was that a friend of mine, she was working with Cesar Millan, and she had a dog which Cesar had taken on to rehabilitate. And she was telling the story about what happened, and this dog became very well known in the posters. You've seen Cesar in a big pool of water and mud, throwing a tennis ball in the air, and the dog's jumping. The one that jumps the highest is Leo. And Leo is what the book is based about. And I thought, people will read dog training books, but do they really hear it the way I want them to? So let me write it as though I'm the dog. And so this book is really written by Leo. I helped him a little bit. And in the book, I explain basically how I was found as a dog hiding in a baseball ground, how I was adopted, and how I was brought in, and then another puppy brought in with me, and the relationships, the dynamics between the dogs, and the things that happened to me along the way to getting to Cesar Millan and being rehabilitated by him, and basically, as I say, becoming a star, because we ended up in a New Yorker magazine and on the post all over the world.
Now, with the writing of the book and the story of Leo, and the full title I want everyone to hear is Leo, the Incredible and Amazing Dog Star, and mm-hmm. It is published by Trafford Publishing. And is the book available on Kindle or Nook or any of the other ebooks?
Yes, it's available from Amazon. It's available from Trafford. It's available in Kindle format as well. It's an e-book, therefore it's very economic to buy. It's a happy book. I hope it's an easy read. It's one which I wanted children to be able to read as well as grown-ups. And I've allowed different friends to have copies of it and read it, and they've all come back and said it's wonderful because it makes us think differently about dogs and the way the dogs see us and the way the dogs act with us and the dogs, way dogs relate to us. And that's what I wanted to do. You know, people will listen to a talk, I think, sometimes better than someone else pontificating to them about what they should be doing.
Well, I'm a big fan of that method. I haven't written a book of that sort myself, but the Chet and Spencer novels, which are written in the point of view of the dog who's a partner of the detective, I highly recommend those. But the first thing you need to do is to go to the website. You can go to floridadogtrainer.com, and that's also a great place to find a link to Leo, the incredible and amazing dog star. Now, in a minute or so, we're going to have to take a break, but we're definitely coming back for another segment and getting a little bit deeper into this. But I want you to tell us how you channeled the words of a dog and what that's about in terms of the way you really have to focus. And I really want your insight into how we can learn to know our dogs better by channeling that energy and being able to really understand their point of view.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And we're here this afternoon with our guest, Martin Dealey, the Florida dog whisperer, amazing dog trainer, and the author of Leo, the incredible and amazing dog star, One Young Dog's True Story. Oh, my gosh, guys. Now, tell us, when writing a book in the point of view of a dog, how do you get yourself in the right spirit?
Oh, it's easy, because I'm with dogs all the time and I'm communicating with them all the time. So I've had dogs since I was 11, which is like 56, 57 years, dare I say. And, you know, dogs talk to you so much more. You just watch them. It's body language. And we talk too much to them. We actually use our voices too much. They're reading us, they're smelling us, they're tasting us, they're feeling our energy. And really, when you watch a dog and you work with a dog, and I've worked with a lot of hunting dogs, you're reading their body, you're reading their eyes, you're feeling their emotions. And basically, we're on a different level of communication than just verbal.
I think that's so well said. And I last week at the end of our program, when I was, you know, had an opportunity to have a moment to kind of talk about what this program's about and what we want it to be about, one of the things I said was, we talk to our dogs a lot, but we don't listen to them enough. And I think that that's exactly in tune with what you're saying. So now, I think sometimes folks love a little something practical to take away. Not that we're done here, but I think that some of the key behaviors that people really get frustrated with are dogs that won't come to them when they're called. The real basics, because the deep dark secret of many of us who are, you know, really huge animal lovers and live the animal companion lifestyle to the hilt, don't have very well trained dogs. That we all have to be like, you know, the training thing isn't really our top priority. Our dogs are healthy, happy, they have a great time, but they don't. For their own safety, we really do need to try to get all dogs to have those basics: the stay, the sit, the come, and the down. Are those really still the four tenets of a management program, in a sense, for a dog, so you can have a loving relationship that's not screwed up by behavior issues?
Yeah, I mean, you missed out one, which is leave it.
A good one. Gosh, no wonder my dog steals food all the time.
It's a great command. But, you know, one of the things that you find is that when we have puppies, we're always encouraging them to go away from us. We want them to run. We want them to play. And then the next minute we're complaining because they've got independence being out there. They're enjoying it so much that they don't want to come back to us.
Right.
And, you know, we forget about building a relationship close to us. So they want to come back to us. They trust our bodies. They feel our energy of partnership. I mean, leadership is one thing we talk about, but I like to think more about partnership. When I was working hunting dogs in competitions and things like that, it was a partnership. Sometimes the dog knew better than I did what it was doing, and sometimes I knew better than the dog. And we used to swap the kind of lead, if you like, in that partnership between each other. But if I said something and I wanted him to follow through, then the dog did. But he wanted to come back to me. He saw pleasure around me. There was a little kind of special area next to me that we shared together. And, you know, too many times we allow our dogs just to go and do their own things. We put them out in the garden. We let them go potty by themselves. We let them run by themselves. We let them chase them down the fence by themselves. And they begin to enjoy it, and it becomes a motivator for them and a reward for them, and they become independent. And the next minute, we're having problems with all the obedience commands because, as far as they're concerned, we're not the ones that they want to be with. It's a relationship. It's an energy. And this is something which I hope I put across in the book. You know, it's a real happy book with a happy ending, and it gets a lot of messages across the way the dog sees.
You know, sometimes even when people get upset with their dog, the dog doesn't realize they're upset. They think it's all part of the game.
So you can grab them, the dog runs away, gets away, escapes. And the dog thinks this is fun. And he doesn't have that power. Yeah, you know, so it really is. We need to be able to know how dogs think, communicate with them, and we need to start off as we mean to go on.
And that
doesn't mean being tough. It means actually setting guidelines, setting limitations, and making being with us, if you like, the highlight of their time.
All right. Now, with Leo in particular, when he was trying to integrate into this new family and pack of dogs, what were some of the key problems that he had? And like I like where you said in the explanation some things where he didn't understand why a certain behavior was expected, and that was part of why it was difficult for him to learn it at first. Can you give us an example of that, please, Martin?
Well, an easy one, I suppose, is going to the bathroom. You get puppies that come and do a pee in the house, and they get upset with them. They take them out onto the lawn, and they're not too sure then when they should pee. And then when they do it, they get excited and praise them like crazy for it. Now, all of a sudden, they've done the same behavior, but they've had a punishment for one and a praise for the other. And that can be confusing to dogs. I've had some dogs that come in here that don't want to actually go to the bathroom in front of me because they've been corrected for it when they've done wrong in the home.
Wow. How stressful must that be for the dog?
Right. Well, I've seen also dogs that are out and they're doing different things, and particularly where they get lost in their nose. The nose is the most important thing for a dog. He's out, he's sniffing, he's on the sniff, you call him. He doesn't hear you at first. You know, it's like a husband watching the sport on TV and the wife saying something. He doesn't hear it at first. So you go a little closer, you catch his attention, and then you get upset with him and go, here, here. And he comes up to you, and instead of praising him when he comes to you, you give him a correction. Well, next time he's not going to come to you. So there's a lot of things that we do that we create confusion, I think, in the dog's mind. And I think what I've tried to do in Leo is to explain some of the confusions that come about and the things that we do as humans that can create that. And then I try to explain the kind of things that certainly Caesar and good owners, good trainers do to help create the relationship that the dog wants to be with you, wants to be around with you, and to share your life together. It's a relationship, and it's very much an important one.
Now, as a trainer and someone who is obviously so spiritually aligned with dogs and committed, I like the way you talk about dogs and the sense of partnership and relationship, because I think that that's really the key. I mean, it all starts from there and the power of good intent. And then if you have some knowledge to back that up, and that includes, of course, nutrition, which is my key focus, and behavior, which is your key focus. And I think that we can all learn so much. What is the way of having a better relationship with our dog just by reading a book like yours and trying to plug into their point of view and get out of our kind of human-centric viewpoints? So I can't imagine any better first book for someone to read who wants to get a better insight into dog training and in a fun way. And this book is absolutely fine for kids or to read to your kids, of course. And so summer being that time of year when people are looking for something great to read on the beach or on vacation or on that airplane, please, everyone, look for Martin's book. It's really terrific. It's Leo, the amazing dog star, one young dog story, true story, and available in all the key ebook places, floridadogtrainer.com, and we are so appreciative of your spending time with us here today, Martin, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we have to talk with you. And please keep in touch with Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio.
I will do indeed. Thank you. It's a happy book, and hope people learn from it and realize it is a very happy book with a very happy ending for everyone.
Thank you so much, Martin, and have a great day.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me. Love for the human race. Make it a better
place. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. At Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
People of the world,
welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And our next guest is Eileen Garfinkel, animal communicator extraordinaire and the founder of dreamsofamelia.com. Welcome, Eileen.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we're so happy that you took time out of your busy schedule communicating with animals and helping people to communicate with their animals to communicate with us today. How cool is that?
That's great. Yeah. It's
now, tell us about Amelia, dreamsofamelia.com, and how your company or your mission came to be, because I found that on your website, and it just really told me exactly what I needed to know. So tell our listeners, please.
Okay. Many years ago, I was working during the day at a corporate job. I was going to school at night. I was very, very busy. I was never home. And I wanted a cat. I thought, oh, I really want a cat. And I didn't think it was fair to have an animal when I was away for so many hours. But in my meditations and in dreams and in prayers, this cat kept coming to me. And I saw her clearly. I saw that she was 6 months old. I saw that she was a tiger stripe. At the time, I didn't even know they were called tabbies. I mean, I was really unfamiliar. So I saw her eyes. They would go from green to gold to green to gold. And every time I thought about getting a cat, I would see this little cat. And I began to love her. was so interesting. I began to love her. And one day I decided, that's it, I'm going to go get a cat. And I was on my way to a shelter to pick up a rescue. I thought I'd find Amelia there. And on the way, I stopped off to buy a carrying case. And I walked into the store, and the guy, I told him where I was going, and he said, oh, their animals are so sick. He said, somebody dropped off a little stray. Why don't you, it was actually at his other store. He said, why don't you go look at it? And I drove and got to his store. I opened the door, and directly in front of me was a cage with this cat that I had been seeing in my meditation.
Oh,
I went, oh, my God, that's her. And a little girl and her father were coming in the store, and I heard the little girl say, oh, Daddy, can we touch the cat?
Oh, no.
Flung my arm, blocking her way, and I said, nobody touches her. She's my cat.
Oh, gosh, you're giving me chills. This is a great story.
It was amazing.
And, that is so cool.
And we communicated that way for years, you know, until she passed. But even though I knew at the time, I thought I could just communicate with her that way. I didn't know. I believe that we all can communicate with all of life.
Right, to different degrees, right?
Yes, and I think just opening up, allowing yourself to open up, shutting down the logical mind that says that's ridiculous, you can't do it, that's nonsense, that's a fantasy, you know, not listening to those voices.
The first step is belief, isn't it?
The first step, yes, is right.
You have to believe that it's possible before it will ever happen, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of self-evident, but I just wanted to say that because I've had some, you know, little experiences of my own, some of which I wrote about in a book called In Dogs We Trust, in a chapter that I was really happy to contribute, and that was in the last year, about how we adopted Taylor Bay, who's one of the dogs that you and I are going to talk about here today. And I think that when you try to tell people, especially if you're not doing it as a profession, as you are, that you think you occasionally get these vibrations and sense of something substantive coming from your animals that you can actually understand, you're going to be met most of the time, let's face it, with mockery or people like kind of like, you know, clocking their tongues at you as like you maybe need some help. So,
I've been told, you know, years ago, what are you, a Dr. Doolittle? You know, I mean, years ago, it was not very, it wasn't a, today in 2014, I know so many animal communicators, but 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I knew of one, actually.
Right. Yeah, it was considered like more of like a parlor trick or a, you know, just an entertainment thing instead of something really serious as it's come to be. So I would like to also say hello to Tootsie Marie and McDuff, your two animals, because we'd like to reach out to your animals and at the same time as we're going to connect hopefully with everyone and give people some tools about communicating with their own animals, because as much fun as it is and serious as it is for us to learn insights about these beings who we spend so much of our time and our life with, I mean, let's face it, especially if you're a work-at-home person like a lot of us are these days, we spend more time with our animals than we do with our children or our spouses. So it's really important that we have a good relationship with them now, isn't it?
Right. And you know, the interesting thing is most people, when they call me for different issues, when I tell them what I'm receiving from the animal, so many times they say, oh, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought was happening. Or, oh, I knew it. So, you know, we really are connected. It's just a matter of trusting that what you're hearing and what you're feeling is true and real.
Now we still have a little bit of time in this segment, but we're, of course, coming back for another segment, and we're going to really actually do a real reading so people can kind of hear how it works. And but when we're talking about listening to our animals and trying to, you know, pick up from them what it is that they're feeling or thinking. And you know, there's a lot. I mean, our previous guest, Martin Dealey, the dog, fabulous dog trainer and author, you know, just talked a lot about listening and also paying a lot of attention to body language. But is there a special environment or, you know, preparation that one should have if they're going to try to have a true communication session with one of their animals?
Yeah, I I'll tell you what I do, and this is what I find it's important to find that calm center within, that place that nothing can touch and nothing can harm. So it's you just get very calm and breathe in and breathe out and just allow your body. I feel like my body dissolves and I'm just the energy rather than the physical body. And what also it's important to stay grounded when you do that because you could fly away, you know. So you also, what I do always is I feel Mother Earth beneath my feet. I feel her heartbeat.
Well,
and then you,
that is a perfect time for us to take our break. I'm
okay.
So sorry, but let's feel Mother Earth beneath our feet, and we'll be back in a minute, and that's and we'll dive right back in. Thank you so much. Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And we are here with our very special guest, Eileen Garfinkel. And she is the founding spirit of dreamsofamelia.com. And I encourage you to go to the website because it's always just a great place to kind of connect with our guests, because these days our websites have links to the Facebook pages, and if we have Twitter feeds and all the other ways of communicating. So go right to that dreamsofamelia.com, and you will find our wonderful guest Eileen's little world there presented to you. Now, Eileen, you were so kind when we arranged the interview to offer to do a reading about my animals, and in particular, you know, we do have two dogs and two cats, and I want to mention them because if anyone hears this and they don't want anyone to feel left out, Ozzy and Taylor Bay are the two dogs, and Maui and Tuxedo are the two cats, and that's our family of animals that we share with, and it's kind of the Noah's Ark thing. We've got two of everything: two kids, two cats, two dogs, and my wife and I, and we try to hold it all together. Now, I would like you to tell us how those guys are doing, because as you know, we're away at our little beach retreat that we were fortunate to be able to rent for the week, and we missed them, and they were very upset, especially Ozzy. He's a very mature, big, rangy boy, and he's very emotional, and he's the one that lost his mate a few years back, and that's how Taylor Bay came to be with us. So,
I'm sorry I have to interrupt
okay.
you, because I looked at his picture before we got on air, and I have to find what I wrote. Oh my God, it just came to me so clearly. There was somebody he was very close to before Taylor Bay. And in fact, he tells me that you got Taylor Bay to be his companion because you thought he was lonely without his dog companion. Was it another Golden?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
That's the first thing he said to me. He remembers.
She's with him.
Female.
She's with him all the time. We know that since she died, he's never gotten completely over it. But he's adjusted really well, and I believe he has a really good and happy life, and he's a really upbeat dog. But he changed so much the day that she died that we have joked occasionally. It's not a joking matter, but you know, we say, are we sure someone didn't swap somebody out while we were away?
And give us
a different dog. We know he's the same guy because he still talks to us in his way too. But so you pick that up, and that's fascinating because he is somebody that I think he wears that grief a little too much probably, and the relationship, it was his true. I mean, you know, he was five months old when he came to us, and she was here with us, and that was his world. And I don't think he's ever understood why she didn't come back. I mean, on some level, but I don't want to talk so much. Please, you talk to us.
Okay. So you wanted to know how they were doing while you were gone.
Sure, and what they think about that, and especially Taylor Bay. She's so mysterious. Ozzy, I have so much more feeling about her, about his inner thoughts, I think, because we're so connected over time and sharing the loss of Isis together. Isis was the beautiful girl that is on the other side of the spirit world now. Mm-hmm. That was his companion and mate. But Taylor Bay is such a mysterious little creature, and she came from Turks and Caicos. She's a pot cake.
And
those who don't know the pot cake thing, those are the dogs of the Bahamas and the West Indies, Turks and Caicos, and they're fascinating little animals. But they're not quite the same, I don't think, as our average domestic canines. I think they have a bit of a real wild streak in them.
So absolutely, yeah.
So talk to us. Talk to us.
Yeah, she definitely has a wild streak. So what Ozzy also said to me, I wish I could find this pad. I wrote it down. I sometimes do. It's like automatic writing. It just comes to me and I just write. So, here it is. So Ozzy says you got Taylor B to keep Ozzy company because you felt like he was so sad. And Ozzy says... That made me laugh. That wasn't really necessary.
but he
likes him. No, he likes her. He likes her. He does.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he does like her. But it was just really made me laugh. And it wasn't really necessary. But Ozzy is such a gentle old soul. I feel like he's got this... it's like a father energy, like a father energy for the children, and also it's toward your wife. Also, he's very paternal. He's like a paternal energy, wise and gentle. But he does make his needs known. He tells me he does make his needs known. And don't feel like he...
I'm sorry. Boy, does he.
Why did that make you laugh?
Because if Ozzy is not quite happy with what I'm doing at the moment, he will knock a computer out of my hand. He will pound. I mean, he's not aggressive, so
it's not that.
He just doesn't put up with it anymore.
Yeah,
he just says, "You're done," and he's like pushes his face onto the computer, knocks it off of my lap, and I'm like, "Ozzy, I have to finish work," and he's like,
"No, not right now."
That's so funny. And yes, if he doesn't know where my wife is, he's not very happy either. He's at that interesting stage in life. Ozzy is, gosh, did Ozzy just turn 8? We're always in denial. We always, you know, with our dogs. Time span on the planet, you know, we never want them to be, you know, we never want them to be older than 3, you know.
So when I say eight, it's
like, oh my gosh, she's 8.
Tells me he's slowing down, definitely. He is slowing down. But you were going to say something about his age other than what I just said?
No, actually, I think he's full of baloney and that he's just being lazy and that he's not slowing down and he just wants to tell us that so we can like start treating him and pampering him more, and I'm not having any of it.
Just make a fuss over him. He's a really.
We're going to go 1 minute. Go ahead, finish your last statement. We're going to go 1 minute. We're going to come back for one more segment.
Okay. So we'll finish up with Ozzy and then go to Taylor Bay, who is quite interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Ozzy wants, he's fine. You know what? He is fine when you go away. And he loves it when you come back. But he likes to, you feel guilty leaving him, and you really don't need to. He's really fine. But he has a way of really making you feel like, please don't go, please don't go.
Yes, he's very vocal about it.
But
he
rails
and cries as I'm pulling out of the driveway.
Yeah,
he's really fine.
Yeah. He's really fine. Yeah. In fact, it's like camp for him when you go away. It's a whole different environment. It's a whole different feeling. And it's good for him.
He's with a family member. He's with our cousin, and she loves him.
Like being at camp.
Yeah, we love all of the folks out there who do animal care in their homes, who do pet resorts, who do overnight, all the options that we need. In our particular family, we just don't do anything but leave the dogs in their home and have people come with them, because it's just to us. They've told us that's the only way that works for them. So we just have to honor that in their case. So we're going to be back in a minute. We'll discuss Taylor Bay, and we'll make sure everyone knows how to find you, Eileen, at Amelia. About
dreamsofamelia.com.
Dreamsofamelia.com, and we'll be back in a minute.
Thank you. Love for the human race, make it a
better place. Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. At clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Falls Pet Talk Radio Network. And we are here with animal communicator Eileen Garfinkel, the founder and spiritual force behind the wonderful website. Tell us again, Eileen.
Dreamsofamelia.com.
I wanted to hear it from your voice. Dreamsofamelia.com. And Amelia is the beautiful cat who found Eileen and told her to come and get her. And that's how Eileen came to know that she was a person who was especially attuned to animals in a way that that we call animal communication. And one of the things that Eileen and I spoke about that I want to share with the audience, because we had the opportunity to chat a bit, is the difference between someone saying they're an animal psychic and an animal communicator, and they're just terms, and I don't want to hang too much up on language, but I think that it's so important for people to realize that the idea of animal communication is not about trickery or about, you know, identifying if someone once had a blue collar or a brown bed or a purple frisbee. And even though we really want to talk to our animals who have passed to the other side of life, I think that that's a wonderful goal, but talking to our animals who are still here with us and listening to them is an amazing thing to do, and do it now. Don't wait till they pass to the other side, because now is a great opportunity while they're here with us on the same dimension and plane to really understand them. Right, Eileen?
Yes, but I do communicate with animals who've passed. I'd say 50% of my work is talking to animals who've passed. The thing with animals who've passed is that they continue to teach us, and they continue to heal us from the other side. It's a different connection, but it's a very real connection. We learn to relate in a different way. We learn to relate in a non-physical way, and it's one of the aspects of my work that I love is connecting to animals in spirit. But I love connecting with animals in the physical as well. But it does have its definite place. And the thing sometimes with communicators, it's important sometimes for the client. It's important that the animal give me a sign that only the client would know, so that the client then truly believes I'm connecting with the right animal, or connecting with the animal at all. So, you know, everything has its place. But my goal with animal communication is really about soul connection and healing. That's my intention always.
Well, that's the most powerful intention of all is healing, isn't it? So
yeah.
Now let's talk a little bit about the kind of wild little but sweet little companion that we have at home, Taylor Day, and what she's telling you when you looked at her picture in Ozzy's and tried to kind of plug into our animal's spirits. Of course, very interested on a personal basis, but also love our listeners to hear your take on that.
So Taylor Bay, her energy comes to me as an aloof, a kind of an aloof energy. She's the dog who you don't like with Ozzy. You always know what Ozzy is thinking and feeling. He wears his heart on his sleeve, so to speak.
That's but a good way to put it.
But not with, he wears his heart on his paw. But not with some Taylor Bay. Taylor Bay is a much more self-contained animal. She's got this wild, I pick up genetic. I mean, I pick up a genetic feeling about this wildness, almost like a fox. She's so sharp. She could be a great hunter. If you allowed her to do that, it's like she can. The word comes to me. It's a word they use in England. I don't know why I'm coming. It's coming to me this way, but she susses things out. You know, she can ferret. That's it. She ferrets things out. She's a great. Yeah, she's got this great sense. Her nose and her eyes, she's just ferrets things out. You can't hide anything from her. She's also, although she comes across aloof, she's a very emotional dog. She's a very emotional dog. In fact, I hear a lot of loud barking. She doesn't have. I don't hear a deep bark. Does she have a high pitched bark?
Oh my gosh! Yes, unfortunately, she does.
Yeah, that's one.
And boy, you nailed that one, Eileen. I mean, we adore. I mean, you can't imagine. I mean, of course, I think you can. You can imagine completely how much we adore both of them. She makes us laugh so much. But the thing of her anxiety with people she doesn't know or situations she's not familiar with that creates this high pitched barking. It's a real issue. I mean,
yeah.
Because she kind of rattled. You know, we're like, oh my god, what's going on? And she has that real like cut you right to the quick.
Yeah.
Kind of a bark. So she's you got that one right. So now while we're at this, you can just please tell her to stop doing that when she doesn't need to. We'd be so happy.
She keeps people in line. That's what she tells me.
Mm.
She keeps people in line, almost like a shepherding dog would do. I see her like keeping everybody in line. She tells you, what to do and when to do it. You know, like, stop doing that. She's a big.
She hates conflict.
Yeah, she's a big like a. I see her like a one of those old fashioned teachers with the ruler. Stop doing that. You know. She also now about her anxiety. She was what about how 6 months old when you got her? She was a young puppy.
She was younger than that. She was found on the beach in the islands as a group of a litter of six. And when we found her, when she found us, because it was all part of, and I'm going to send you the story that links Ozzy and Isis and Taylor Bay, kind of the way we lost Isis and how Taylor Bay came to be. And Ozzy's perspective on it is very interesting. and she
Thank you,
was
but not necessary.
About, yeah, we think she was about 13 to 14 weeks when we brought her home, and she was about days old when she was rescued. So they were not supposed to live, her and her siblings, at least by any common standard. And they were given such amazing care by the veterinarian on Turks and Caicos on Providenciales Island that he saved all six puppies. And when we met her, she had two siblings left and two boys and her. And when I saw her, I knew right away. It took me a minute or two to convince my wife and my sons, because she wasn't quite as lively and she was really scared. But I knew it. She had Isis channeling through her or something. But it was not even a doubt. It was instantaneous. So for the average person, all of us are average people, but for a person who's dealing with a dog that's doing something like an anxious behavior, because again, I'm enjoying so much hearing about our dogs, but I want to help others too. Like, what can we do to kind of channel into what might be causing that anxiety? Is there like something that we can at least do to try to get a head start before we consult a communicator, signs that we can look for, things that we can change in the home or look for signals? I'm just hoping for stuff we can help people with.
Well, every dog has is different why it feels anxious. You know, they have different roots just like people do. One thing that I always tell people is, you know, dogs, all animals, they pick up our energy. That's what they respond to. You can say whatever words you want to say, and you can behave in any way you want to behave, but the dog will pick up the energy of your intention. So when the dog is anxious, most times the guardian gets anxious. Either was anxious before, and that's what the dog is picking up on, or the person is getting anxious because they can't stand the behavior of the dog, and it just is one of those vicious cycles. So that has to break. What I like to tell. One second, something's coming to me. Okay. So this is interesting. Do you ever meditate? Because I'm feeling like one of the reasons Taylor Bay is in your life is to help you find ways to calm your energy, to get a calmer energy. So
that would be a great goal. And you know what, I try to create a meditative environment because of the stress of what, you know, hey, look, everybody has their own stuff.
Life.
But
right.
The stress of creating a new business as we've had to do and as we want to do, it's not had to do, as our mission and our goal in life. But she does not want, they don't like when I stay up too late, so they stay up with me, and that annoys them that I'm not going and getting proper sleep if I'm working too hard, and they don't like conflict at all, especially Taylor Bay, and she doesn't tolerate it and gets very upset. Now, that said, I'm going to turn to a completely different, not as serious subject, and that's food stealing. You need to tell us which of the animals steals food when we're not looking, because we think it's Taylor Bay and it's that Ozzy just eats
Taylor
some
Bay.
Of it.
It's but Taylor if, Bay. It's Taylor
is it?
Bay.
I knew it.
She shares some of her bounty with him, but it's Taylor Bay. She's like that ferret. She ferrets everything out, and she's quick. She's quick like a fox, this dog. She's very intelligent.
It's crazy.
Very
her neck is very long. Long paws and a long neck. And so she's, I think it's a the genetics of her breed is that they all had to, she comes from generations of dogs that many of whom have been strays and survived. And their wiles are what keep them alive. And that's being able to find food. So we kind of give her a pass, but it can be a little frustrating to have an entire pumpkin pie, like, for example, disappear on Thanksgiving Day. That doesn't make your day.
Taylor Bay.
But this is so it's you know but it's so cool what you're saying because it's really you're doing a fabulous fabulous job in terms of connecting with our animals and their emotions, and that's what this is about. It's not about it can be about and should be about reconnecting with our animals who've passed on. What a great thing that is, and I didn't mean to poo-poo that. I was just saying I want to also make sure people understand communicating with animals who are here with us on the planet is such a great thing to do as well, and not to forget that that's one of the options. But you know, one of the amazing things, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not into the trickery thing. I think sometimes these things are set up to be, let's try to find out if you can say something that somebody doesn't know so we can go, ooh, ah, like the Long Island psychic or something.
Right.
I'm more about us learning from each other. And one of the most fascinating things that I want to tell you that can maybe help you to find something with us together is that Ozzy defends her, but in a way I've never seen happen with an animal before. And it started the first time we brought her to, we have a little lake cabin and very, rough place, but it had a carpet on the first floor. And when we first brought Taylor there, Taylor Bay, she carved a hole in the carpet. I think she was trying to dig, and it's right on a concrete slab, and she exposed the concrete. And when we got home and we saw it, we knew exactly what had happened. She was a puppy, pretty much, and that's puppy kind of stuff, and we didn't like freak out or anything. We were just like, oh my gosh, here we go. And he ran over to the spot, popped his belly down on it, and laid there. And I've never seen anything like it in my life, Eileen, that a dog would do. That nobility, that it's actually like, I don't know humans who do things like that, really, like take the blame for somebody else.
Yeah.
But he put himself down there, and that was, I honestly get emotional talking about it because it's a funny story, but it's so deeply revealing of something that we need to understand. Our animals have that capacity. He actually made a decision to take the blame for something to protect his friend.
Yes. You know, we're so many of us are under the misconception that animals are lower forms of beings than we are. They're just different. You know, I refer to it as speciesism. It's saying something like, he's a bird brain. You know, that is so derogatory to birds.
Exactly, right.
Honestly, because...
that's funny. It's not insulting to the person. It's insulting to birds, for crying
Exactly. So, because something is different, it doesn't mean it's less than. It just means it's different. It's a different kind of intelligence. And who's to say that their intelligence, their instinct, is not a higher form of intelligence than our logic? You know what I mean? So it's really, for me, one of my goals is to really allow people to discover or rediscover, because I think we all knew this somewhere a long time ago, that we are all the same. We are all the same. We are just all very different. And
Life itself is the energy force that we share, and that we all experience it differently, and time differently, and space differently, because we're different, have different biologies, but we all share that life force, and I think that that's just such a great way to put it. And I could obviously go on and talk to you for hours and hours, and your insights into Taylor Bay and Ozzy are really, really fantastic. And I want anyone who's hearing this to know that you know, there was no, like, you know, discussion about these things. It's more a sense of just it's obvious to me that Eileen is kind of a person who is truly an animal intuitive, and I love that term. And I don't know if you. I don't want to put a term on you, but I love the term because
I always say I'm an intuitive animal communicator. That's what I call myself. Yes.
And you didn't tell me that before. So how about
that?
No,
you didn't.
Up with that on our own. Well, Eileen, we're going to do this again sometime. And I also, as with all of our guests, I always want to tell you that, you know, off air we'll share and we'll send you some of the Clear Conscience Pet products so that you can try the nutrition that's inspired by the spirit of the Clear Conscience Pet philosophy. And so let's make sure that happens because, you know, we always want to share that as well. And I want to thank today, I don't do this very often, but our team at BBS Radio and our fantastic producer, Don Newsom, for his patience. And I want to thank you, Eileen, for coming on with us today. And I promise you it'll happen again. And I want to wish everyone out there who loves and shares their life with animals to, you know, just think about communicating in an open-minded way. Think about it as a way of learning about ourselves as well as about our animals, and being really, you know, enlightened in a new way about the fact that our animals aren't a convenience or an accessory. Our animals are a gift from the universe, God, whatever term we choose to use, and let's never look at that and not appreciate it. So,
that's
Eileen,
amazing.
You're fantastic. And one more time, tell us how to find you.
www.dreamsofamelia.com.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, and thank you all for joining us on Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio. And remember, love your animal, love them harder, and they'll love you back even more. God bless, and signing out.